Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Woohoo! Good morning. Good you know, this is a special show, but I can't tell why it's special. But hopefully in the next 58 minutes, you guys will know why it's special. You know what? Like I did last week, only because I'm not quite ready because I'm still drinking my mimosa and I need another sip before I start the show. We go and listen to Dirk's intro again. Here we go. Let's see if it's working. Wait, there we go. Hey. Woo-hoo. There you go. There you go. My guest is saying she can hear me. Now she's really going to have to come on. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one.
I'm Shirley Shepherd. You guys can only see what I'm getting in my text messages.
Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Whew, I don't think I need to do it a third time. I might, though. You never know. Good morning, good morning, everyone. You know what? I promised this year we would start. I think I'm going to do the YouTube. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about, you know, hey, it's really, really scary to do live shows and Instagram and Tixagram and all that. TikTok, whatever y'all call it. But I think we have to because these memes things that she's sending me are hilarious. So we need to make sure that's on our visual coming up. Hey, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Oof. I have to start with, you know, the show goes from funny to serious to who gives a fuck. It's my show. If you can hear my feedback, it's because my guest is downstairs. Could you turn the dang thing down a little bit? My God. If not, you guys can hear me. It's no big deal. Except I can hear myself. It's so funny. Okay, you guys. Life in the I have so much to say today. This thing called life, remember that? We got some topics on about faith called life and then life called life, law called life, and just life. But I want to start off with last week, I took the liberty at the end of my show to tell my truth about grams and you know, things that, you know, scents and smells. And we talked about grams, starch. Hold on one second. Hold on. Please. Hold on a bit. Wait, hold on. I'm telling her, please. I'm telling my friend, turn down a bit. Because I can hear the feedback and I sound really stupid and I'm upstairs. Okay. Oh, he's down. Speaker. Okay. Okay. Whew, got a lot going on. I'm so excited. I'm glad this is an hour because there's so much going on. Anyway, first of all, I'm telling my girl to wait. Okay, I'm going to be ghetto. Tosh, turn it down a little bit on your cell phone. I can hear my feedback. That's ghetto. Oh, okay, I don't hear it anymore. My show. Okay. For all those that this is the first time hearing my show, please understand there's 81 other shows where there are normal. This is not going to be a normal one. But I do want to start off with, you know, at the end of my show last week, I did admit that although I'm talking this conservativeness, that I really didn't understand what I was preaching upon or thinking about. All I was really being honest about, and this is because I think we have something Tuesday coming on and coming in next week. You know, again, I'm jumping around, but I can do that because I really want to get this out first. I just simply thought, what have the Democrats done for me lately? And so I changed changed up. And it wasn't until last week Mom said, you know, Missy, I know we've been arguing, so on and so forth, but tell me, what have they done for you lately? And she was really, I've never quite seen Mom look at me like in a mannerism, like I'm your mother and you need to be liberal, but more so, explain to me why you're feeling that way and help me understand. I had no words. I had nothing that was going to pass muster, I guess, with her. So I came and did my show. And then at the end of the show, I mentioned to everyone, you know what, you guys, I really don't know enough to say what I am or what I'm not. I know what I believe I'm tired of. Remember, this show is about looking for my give a fuck. And it's kind of about, instead of just running away from, look at to why I don't like what's going on as the liberals. And instead of jumping to the other side, jumping to my own conclusion based on totality of information and circumstances, to wit, my cousin, Lee J, I didn't ask why I say his name, but shit, I don't care. Lee J has been asking gracefully that I look at all things prior to making decisions and judgments and so on and so forth. Not that I can. I mean, you know, you can do what the fudge you want, but be able to stand and be able to have conversations or debates. I have always been. It's all about me. It's what I say and what I do. The other thing, everyone, is that when someone sends you something and says, hey, revisit how you think. Again, this is all about looking for my give a fuck or how I instantaneously jump into default, such as when my cousin sent that to me. I was like, whatever. This show is 82 episodes in, and it's really about, okay, wait a minute. Let me sit on that. And I did in the next day, and I read it and I read it, and I knew it came from love. And I understood that basically it wasn't him saying, hey, you know, it wasn't any of that. It was just like, please, I honor what you're saying, cuz, but it seems as if you are only one-sided, and that fears and that scares me because you have a million people listening to your show. I know I do. It's called Me, Myself, and I, and my mom when she listens. In the archives. But now you have people that listen to your show and you're very passionate about your stance. It just didn't have substance. So what did we learn last week, you guys? There are going to be people, especially now, that are going to come for you. And it's not negative. It's just give me a reason to understand and respect your stance and still allow me to stand on my own. And let's talk about this together. I think that's number one thing that's happening in this political stance the last 8 to 10 years. We all stand by based on the black president or the white president or the mega, whatever. We all stand by our grounds, but we never sit together and figure out how to separate the muster, you know, how to separate politicians all have some type of general understanding, but because we argue such separation, I guess, that we never just get to the pool of bullshit and fix it. Well, why bother? We don't even get to the lake. And so that's kind of like what Lee J was sharing with me, and I want to thank him for that. The other thing we talked about, you guys, and this is where I go to my emotional thing, and I'm going to take a minute on that because I do. And I believe it or not, as much as I will shoot you on Tuesday, stab you in your toe on Wednesday, rethink what I did on Thursday and apologize on Friday, I do have a heart. I do have a soul. I'm getting older. And this show has been very therapeutic for me because I went from giving a fuck about everything to not giving a fuck about everything. And now to, wow, everything has two sides, three sides, and I'm not necessarily in the middle of it. You know, just kind of in the middle, but not all the way in the middle. Because I'm sure they, okay. But anyway, last week we were talking about my grams and how I'm named after my grandma, you know, but we call her Grandma Shirley, so on and so forth. And I lived with grandma a lot of times. And during the summer, I want to say something. If I lived away from my mom and I had to send little Quan to see his gram every summer, that must be hard on a parent. I never thought about it. When it was summertime, we would just run to the plane. Mom's like, you're taking the bus. So then we'd have to run to the bus. We just couldn't wait to go see grandma. Okay, you darn kids. Did you know that kind of hurts the parents for at least 5 minutes? But then when you're gone, we get our freak gone. What I'm saying is I couldn't wait to get to grandma since this is about grandma. And if we could all close our eyes and think about grams and think about everything. In fact, I went to a best friend's grandparents' home and I can still see everything, and hopefully if she decides either today or maybe next week or another time to be on the show, it's going to be so imperative because I have so vivid memories of her mom and her gramps and the whole thing and how she scared me in the house because she ate shit. But the bottom line was I've always remembered grandma ironing, and like we were poor. I've seen the white people come to the house and pick up their laundry and more. She would iron. I don't know if she washed. I don't know how that worked. And grandma would iron, and it was so strategic. And I mean, I would look over, and I mean, right now, if I see an ironing board, I kind of like, oh, you know, but there's no reason that I should not know how to iron, except that I'm just ignorant and I do not ever want to iron. However, people would come and she'd be so gracious, and you know, that whole thing, close your eyes and your mom, your grandma is the first, what is that called? Cleaners in Sioux City, Iowa. But then there was this boy that would come over. I must have been 6. I knew I was going to be a hot thing. Todd, I can't remember yesterday, but I can remember Todd. Anyway, he would come and get his shirts, you know. I never saw grandma exchange money. I don't know how that worked, right? But she'd get, you can go and give Todd, you know, his clothes. And then Todd would come 3 times, like he would forget. I think grandma would just make sure she gave him 2 shirts and then 1 shirt. And I would always grin. But wait a minute. When I was in school that winter, I wasn't talking to him in the playground, so he tripped me, and you guys heard the story, and I slid from one end to the playground to the other on ice with face down, tooth chipped. I think my best friend who's downstairs, I think she might have been around when I had a chipped tooth. I had it forever because we were kind of poor getting that fixed. And my grams picks me up. I'm like, my face is all messed up, whatever, you know. My tooth is broken. And we were having popcorn that day. I think I share this with you because these are things you must remember. And I say, Grandma, I want to stay for popcorn. As she's looking at my face, you know, not looking good and thinking to herself, I have to explain this to her mom. However, the thing that ultimately happened was Grandma said, come on, and I'll make sure you have your popcorn, which popcorn is the most important thing to me in my life. But it's funny, walking down from the school to the house, Grams is, I'm sure she was smoking her cigarette or something, but I just remember her because this is so Grandma. Baby, uh-huh. Okay. When your mother calls, let me be the one to tell her what happened. You know, 100 years later, mother never knew that summer. It wasn't until we kind of went home. And by that time, Grams was like, oh, yeah, by the way, Shirley told Mouseless's story, so on and so forth. But what I'm saying is this, Grams, I'm thinking something's horrible. My grandma is ironing for everyone in town. That's grown folk business. But I'm just looking at my Grams because I'll be honest with you. Grams was always ironing, watching her stories, cooking, drinking coffee, smoking a cigarette. At one point, dark liquor. Everything was so strategic. I never knew what OCD was about, but she'd get, and then the thing was the starch, boys and girls. Not the canned starch, the real starch. The difference between Lee J and I is that Lee J right now is probably ironing with this starch. And every time I smell starch, I want to throw up on myself. But that was our grandma. You know, when we're sitting around thinking, why do we give a fuck about life? What is life? Because a lot of times I'll get in that mix, like, you know, wait, why? I get to every Sunday when I get outside of myself and, you know, forget about the luckies I have. I like that word, the luckies I have. I get to think every time I get on this show that Lee J's ironing, grandma listening to just the show. And I got to tell you guys, when we talk about intelligence, I mean, goddamn. You know, sometimes God just gives some family just stupid on generations, just stupid, 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 stupid generational. And they never kind of grow out of their stupidity. They become knowledgeably stupid, but still, I'm just being a bitch. Our family, everyone's fucking smart. I'm really, seriously, I am not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to my family. And I honor that because I sit around and watch them and I'm like, oh my God, they're incredible. And you know, Lee J is one of those people. So for him to not only say, hey, I'm going to listen to you, but to also listen to some of the stories that I share about our family. This is another thing, you know, again, because it's my show, I can jump from here to hell and back. Probably not back from hell, but you know what I'm talking about. A lot of us don't get a chance to hear what we think about each other. Even on TikTok and Double Lock and whatever they were doing, I mean, I have yet to see someone just say, you know, my family and who they are and what they represented to me and how I see them and how I've seen them, you know, from the day I hung out with them in the summer. Do you know probably half of my family doesn't even know how much I really love them and I honor them? We're supposed to love our family because that's what somebody said. But a lot of people, you're like, shh. But every one of the family members that I spent a lot of time with. Now, there was one side of my family I did not spend as much time with. But I can tell you right now, the time I did spend with them is just embedded in my mind. Aunt Janie and all the kids, it's just Aunt Janie will probably be, she has to be number three because mom has to be one. Really, Aunt Joanne's one, but we have to say that mom is one because I live with her. Okay. But then Aunt Janie. So what I think about those three women, how could I be a, excuse my language, what a punk bitch when I seen the most beautiful, these are some beautiful women. I mean, I wish I even have had their beauty, but they ain't no joke. So when I came out the, you know, mama, and I'm talking shit and I do shit, whatever. I mean, mom's like, well, maybe you're being a little too much. Hello, I'm your daughter. But look around and you can't help but to pick up some of the good, some of the bads of the people you grew up with. You decide what you're going to do with that. As you get older, life gets a whoop on you. I'm telling you, I'm getting my whooping like I've never quite seen before. It's this hell of a crossroads. And one day I'll share that because I share everything. But more importantly, do you know how proud I am that my cousin, Lee J, who I honor like so stupid. It's like I'm looking forward to going to each one of my family members and getting to know a lot of my cousins and my nieces and nephews I don't know. But that's here nor there. I'm talking about the initial generation. I can only do so much. How I just from the heart want to tell Lee J, I love you. Dude, hugs, kisses, what the hell? I'm not a hugger, I'm not a kisser. I'm a straight up bitch who cries in the middle of the night. And that's not good. But go to all your family, start there. You know, you guys all know we had an incident with mother. And just having, you know, that big C word and the psychological and the mental and the physical impact it takes on one and then all those around you. And then the selfishness of me going, okay, she told me her situation, I went to bed. But at least I was big enough to say I went to bed. I can't go to bed no more. Family, when you come and say X, Y, Z, I can't pray it away. I can't wish it away. I can't do nothing but be there for where you are right then. Stories with you if that's what you need to deal with where you are right there. That includes me. I really want to reiterate that. If something happens to me, boys and girls, and they say XYZ and it's not looking good, I need everyone to go get some really good, clear, good, healthy cocaine because I never had any. And I would be Scarface and fuck you who doesn't agree to that. It's not a good time to tell me to stop drinking if they say, hey, you going out. I'm going out. I'm going just saying. I have some other cousins, you know, Bonnie. I don't talk much about Anna because there's nothing really to talk about when I think about my cousin Anna. She was just perfect. She was just beautiful. I mean, and Anna was like, I'm really not going to hang out with you because you are, like, below me, and I love that. But she meant it in a very beautiful way. I mean, she's the most beautiful person in the world. Why would she, like, talk to us? I mean, you know, it's all good. But there's nothing much to say about when I saw Anna. She's just perfect. Now, what she had to deal with her life, with her children and her life, that's on her. But all I see, the most beautiful woman in the world that has cheeks and the way her face is contoured is just default model. And when I put my red lipstick, you know, I have a lipstick line, Angelic Kiss, that tends to not get off ground because I'd be having to look for my give a fuck when it comes to me. Ooh, we'll talk about that later. But I see her. Red lipstick, most beautiful woman in the world. Now, again, what she feels about herself and what she has done with herself, that's on her. But in my mind, she will always be the most beautiful person in the world who just sat there and be like, y'all run around like chickens with your head cut off. Please cater to me. And we did. She was our queen. She was our cousin queen. And I loved just sitting there, just being around her. I don't know if she ever knew that. We talked about Granny, which is my cousin's, the Favors father's family. I never knew there was even a separation. Granny treated me like I was such a spoiled brat. Why am I not? I mean, I'm still spoiled, you know. But I don't think Anna ever knew how much I honored her and watched her. Maybe I should have told her. I always talk about my cousin Yvonne. I mean, first of all, I know this may sound really weird, and I want everyone to understand this is from the heart of love. If I dated women, I would be with my cousin. She cooks and cleans, and she's perfect, and she's beautiful and smart. No, honestly, I talk about how I watched her just make these pots, do this and that to make sure that the man she was with at the time was fed and taken care of, and then took me to a barbecue, and we hung out with the rest of the family. Never seen that before because my mother had four husbands. That's all I have to say. Four. It was beautiful. Ansa, listening to Ansa, oh my God, we went to New York. Ansa, Bonnie, and Lee J. They were all in Lee J's. He has a I don't know, the brownstone, I think, in Brooklyn, I believe. If I'm wrong, I apologize. I'm thinking more of what was happening inside than the description of outside. And Lee J is an incredible chef and all that shit. Now, can you imagine? These are three incredible chefs, cooks, just all kinds of shit. And I'm sitting there in the living room area, and I'm hearing these niggas arguing in the kitchen about how to make a dish even greater. Y'all, I just was hungry. I never understood. Jesus Christ. I was witnessing family greatness and sharing of recipes and all that. Mimi, Grandma, Mom, Aunt Joanne, Granny, everyone else was all in that kitchen doing things, and they got it from different spaces and places. And all I was doing was laughing. But that doesn't mean I wasn't a part of the history. It was mean that I was observing the history. Sometimes, to be a true historian is you can be in it, but also witnessing it and feeling it. I don't think they even understood. Anto was like, no, Lee J, you do it this way. And Bonnie's laughing, and I'm trying to figure out, and I still don't understand you New Yorkers, why you put eggs and milk outside your window. It was so funny. I'm like, Lee J, someone's going to steal your stuff. Just like we have to wait till the heat comes up in New York. What's taking it so long, right? I'm ignorant. But now, as I think about it, that was awesome. Only I get to feel that. And now they're aware of it, right? Incredible people. I mean, I talk about my cousins, Curtis and Cotters. I do that so that for the nieces and nephews and people that I don't know, Blog Talk is for reals forever. You guys can always hear stories about the family, even my family. I think I haven't talked about them much because I don't think I recall how great my own family is. I'm always looking on the outside. You know, and never really observing inside because I've been in the mix. I've been in the cooking argument compared to observing what was going on in the kitchen and really learning from all three of them. So we'll talk about that too, how even being observant, how much do you observe yourself and what does that look like? And do you have to do that? You know, it's funny. You don't have to do anything. This world gives you enough tools to just fuck yourself off. But at some point, in fact, I was talking to my friend about this, at some point it was, when do you become aware of and responsible for and taking actions to better a situation that you may have sold your soul to prior to that? And that comes a long way when you're talking about the entertainment industry, and we'll get into that because she definitely has a very different look on things, you know, about that. But when do you change? How do you change? Can you change? Can you shift? Can you give honor to a family? Like I talk about my family, but I can't cook a lick. And I used to be the joke. I mean, people laughed about me. But I've turned that around and said, you know what? I honor the people that can so they can cook for me. Cook for me. Okay. I have issues. Okay. So what is going on? The bottom line. What is life? What is life? Because that's some bullshit thinking about that. But think back about family. Now, I'm gonna bring something forward. Another part of who you are and where you came from and how you think of people you grew up with in your pivotal years. Is that the word? I'm sure Lee J, as a teacher, will correct me. And I've had an opportunity to have one of my best friends since, I think, fifth grade, can't remember. It doesn't matter. We got in more trouble than a little bit because of her, not me. But I had a chance as we're getting older. She's here for reasons that, you know, she'll share if she wants, if she comes on the show. But it does. If she doesn't, it's okay. But I also was like, we're having this conversation, and we have both sides, and we going to win each other. And then as we got older, we'd be forgetting what we're talking about. Yeah, and I agree to this, and I agree to that. Yeah, that's right. Now, what were we talking about? And it's not, and I really hate when people do that, it's not about having dementia and all that shit. It's just about, at a certain point in life, where it's like, wait a minute, we agree to disagree, but we going to figure out how to agree. See, it's like this. I will completely be combative on my stance. I'm getting a little better. And she will be completely combative. And then we'll try to work it out. But she'll be like, I'll get her when she's having a drink or two. Then she'll see my side. So what I'm saying is that look at the people who were in your life that you're even still talking to today, or even if it's physically or spiritually. If you get an opportunity and you'd be like, oh, my God, wait a minute. I have a best friend that had her opinions harder than my opinions. Oh, shit, I was always going to win. And when she wasn't away, I carried that. I always had to win at some level. I always had to know, or I always had to feel like my understanding should be your understanding because my understanding is truth. And you know what? Both understandings are the truth. We were talking about the entertainment industry yesterday, and one of my things was like people get into this thing, and I said this for years, and then, you know it's corrupt. Why do you get in it? And my thing, as I've learned a lot of people that are in the industry and how they do you wrong, it's not like you wake up and you're like, I want to leave and go. No, you're like, oh, really? Okay, let me show you this list of images and things that you didn't know you were doing that could ruin your whole life. You're curious, you know, it's really a bad thing. But a lot of people say, well, the people in the industry could just, you know, get up and go. Okay, that's true. But when you do something you love, and honestly, they get you at that age, 16, 17 years of age, where you're not supposed to know, per se, that they out to get you. You're supposed to, oh God. You're supposed to believe that you are different from. They will not fuck you up. They won't kill you indirectly like Prince, Michael Jackson, whatever. No, they are going to love you. Now, I also have this to say. If we didn't allow them to have that thought process, would we have music today? I don't know. But I do know this. A lot of people go in and they're like, I'm not going to get caught up. Nope, I'm not. But, you know, my mom says you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas, which means I could just go, like right now, me and my friend, we went partying, like whatever. I mean, I could have been doing something or it could have been looking like, and now they can AI you like you've done something and it could be used against you. That's what these people do. So they come to you, you're making millions, you're on top, and they said, you know, I want you to take more clothes off, you female R&B person. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. Really? Let me show you. You're at the top of your game. Now you're afraid. Who do you trust? It's a real psychological thing is what I'm saying. And we're all quick to you can get out of it. And sometimes you can't because there's so much money. For every billion that Beyonce makes, others are making trillions. And the reason I was also able to be a little more when it came to not being able to remove yourself from situations for so long, because you guys, I'm in a situation now. It's like, I can't do this anymore. Well, Shirley, where the hell do you have to go? Well, you have all these ideas. Do this, do that, do whatever. Let me explain something to you guys. Psychologically, emotionally, and physically, you know, I mean, that's his age. It's a different, I'm tired. By the time I've gotten to where I am now, I won some, I lost a lot, and I walked in with confidence, and now my confidence may be at issue when it comes to a lot. You get tired. You begin to see what you give a fuck about. That means you're conscious and aware of the fact that maybe what you want and what you need to live in this physical world don't match, such as a paycheck, right? I need some money, right? It doesn't match. You begin to say, well, you know, maybe I'll do my 20 hours on starting this new business as you are getting older and watching your children have children or your elders getting older. Do I want 18 years in the office or rather have, 18 hours in the office or I do 8 and then spend 8 hours talking to mom? You don't have those things when you're 16, 17 years old and you throw it out there, 18. I'm going to talk about the foundation when you are, you know, well, when you get older. But see, so here's what happens. Well, might as well stay here, do what I need to do, make the 6 figures, if not more, do what I need to do, go to work, save the world, come and see mom, be here. But maybe, you know, because I don't have the energy to start working at 10, so I'll start at 11, I'll get to mom at 7:30, and she's in bed. And you know what I mean? You hear it? I mean, it's real. So everyone says, well, just change it. Yeah, I want to. But the pivot of things I just said previously was I get to the office at 10 and my brain don't start till 11. And then the fear we talked about, or the failures, or you're not worthy. Because again, when you get to a place where you start second, third, and fourth guessing yourself, it's not because you're the greatest person on earth. It's because we all have our challenges. We all fight. I don't know if fighting is the word. We all have to do what we have to do. And then sometimes you'd be like, God, really? I just pushed the car 10 miles, and now you're telling me I have 15 more to go? Yes, you got it, Shirley. Just take a break. And you know, it's funny. we take a break and we push 15 miles. And then at the extra 15 miles, he gives us our worthiness or whatever, and we're like feeling really good. And then we just move into another car, not realizing that the person who was pushing the car needs to be rejuvenated, needs to be re-oiled or whatever. I don't think of any. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to push the car again. And then all of a sudden, you got a whole new lot of brand new motherfucking cars because you pushed through and you don't want to drive anymore, push anymore. In fact, you want to walk. And everybody's like, are you kidding me? You have a whole car lot of cars of success, and now you want to walk? Yeah, but you're older. You can't walk as fast or as far, but you need it. Now, if anyone has a answer to that, roll with me and tell me how. So I'm about to close the gate of all my great cars. And then a friend came along, a best friend, who was here for reasons that, tough reasons, and who said to me the other night, talk to me about what you love. For she's been around. I've talked about her without saying names, who was my cheerleader coach. I admitted that, hey, I wasn't your supporter. She never held it against me. Or maybe she did, but said, you know, that's not my issue. She was the first person that said, in a long time, tell me your dream. And I talked about my stupid concept of the spa. I've always wanted a day spa. Then you walk in to the right, you come in with exhausted energy, and you never cross that energy again when you walk out. You get treatments, so on and so forth. You never even cross the locker room in which you came into, because that's the energy that you came with. Hold on. I believe to get up. Okay, that's fine. I'm getting something. So it was this whole thing, you know, she's explaining, you know, I'm explaining it to her, and I'm just seeing it as, and she closed her eyes. And she said, oh, my God, I've been to a lot of spas, but I never understood the importance of energy and going through it and coming out of it. And then I said, introduced her to lemongrass. I'm like, whatever. And every time she smells it, if you guys don't know anything about lemongrass, it just does something. It just rejuvenates those cells that are all kind of like in relaxation mode constantly, whatever. But she said this, why are you not doing, no, she didn't ask why was I not doing it. She said, what do you need? For as good as you are in the legal, the passion is this other stuff. And when someone comes to you and listens and says, what do you need? And you can't articulate it because all you feel is that you have failed that point in your life. That's when looking for your give a fuck got to show up. Because whether I do it or not, she heard me. Through the crisis that she's experienced, she sat and she heard me. That is your best friend, your enemy, your sister, your enemy, your sisterhood. Okay, hold on. I think I'm going to call, yes. Push one or two, or what I'm going to do, Tosh, I'm just going to, right now, I'm going to push this thing, and it should say, I don't know what it should say, just hold on. And my friend Mary's white, Tasha. No, okay. Because she act like she's black. I'm going to fuck her up. But I don't know. She's not showing that she wants to be on the show. But what I can do, I'm going to click the – oh, Mary wants that. If you hit a one, Tasha, let me see if this happens. Can you hear me, Tasha?
Wait a minute. Yeah,
yeah, you
but
are.
Mary's
you're on the show.
Let Mary talk.
No. You both are going to talk. Mary just – no. We all can talk. Hold on 1 second. Yes, you are.
Am I on live?
Hey, Mary.
Already?
Yes, you
good
are.
Morning.
I can take you off. But hi, how are you? Stay right there. I'm going to, well, T, do you want to introduce yourself? What do you want to do? So, Mary, I'm going to put you back. Well, Mary knows how to.
I'll mute myself.
No. Okay. T, you want to introduce yourself?
You
want to talk?
You do, Mary, and I'll listen.
No,
I'll introduce myself, but then I'll just listen.
No, Mary,
nope.
Mary's off. No,
oh,
Mary
okay.
calls. No, there's nothing. Mary okay. calls every day to give me, I mean, every, girl. This is your show. You go ahead. Well, let me finish so I can say this. You were the first person, if you were listening, I think you were, who, again, said, I think I explained the metaphor. It's like I parked all my cars and I need to walk. And I need to walk where, you know? And and you said, what do you need? Through the darkest,
Am I on?
Yes, yes, you are.
Am
you're on.
Am I live?
Oh, yes, oops. Nigga, you live. Damn. Oh, trying to be all sensitive and shit. You and Mama must be downstairs. Oh, sorry, everybody. They downstairs.
No, Mama's upstairs. Hi, everybody. I'm Tasha. I'm Shirley's best friend, sister. A little bit of everything. And first, I'm honored to be on because Shirley's just kind of walking me through this podcast stuff because it's something that I strive to do. But I just want to say, Shirley, you are amazing, and sometimes you need to give yourself grace because you do so much for people. You do so much, and you ask for nothing in return, but you got to give yourself grace. You are amazing. And that day spa concept that you have, honey, run with that because that is all you. And I'm not going to share stuff that we've been talking about because all I can say is that aroma and put you first. Sometimes you have to put yourself first, and it's not being selfish. But sometimes you have to put yourself first because the world will beat you down. And people in the world who don't love you will use you up. And people in the world who love you will try to build you up. So don't let anybody take the J out of your joy. And remember that you are amazing. I don't even remember. I was listening, so I was taking notes. I don't even remember what I was supposed to talk about. I know this concept of the show kind of bouncing around, but
no.
The one thing that I wanted to do was just to let you know that you are amazing and know your value and your worth. And I am here
Thank
to
you.
Support you, even though I am on the East Coast. You have always had my support because I know where the bodies are buried and all the dirt where you put
Okay.
But you always
there
have
you go.
My
I knew she was gonna
regardless,
say
it. regardless where I am, you know, I'm always there for you. But I just want you, to do you. And I want you to remember
Thank
your
you.
Worth. You are amazing, and you are worthy to be praised.
If you guys get a little history, and Tasha, you can put yourself on mute, or you can just listen, or you can kick in anytime you want. But I do want to say this because it's important.
Bye.
Tasha
I'm
was in my mute. Life. Oh, wait. Are you not unmute yourself? Are you smart? Because I don't know.
No. I said I was muting. Mute out. Bye.
Jesus, this is see what happened. Did you see all that? This is why I'm crazy. She's like, I love you. Be great. Yeah. Okay, stay right there, but don't hang up. I'm going to still put you just on mute so you can listen to the show too. Okay. So the importance of this is for me is that we're going back and we're looking at family and friends and all that. You're looking at who you are and where you come from. And 12, 13, pivot of time in our lives. Tasha is very beautiful, and I'm told I was kind of like, okay. But we had a lot of shit we had to go through, you know? And
stop
I hear
it.
Her yelling.
I'm in town, and I'm not going to go into details on
no,
a family.
No.
I'm
never talk about that.
Oh, no.
Are you on
I
the
was
show?
Just saying. Oh, am I on a show? I'm not on a show? Okay, I'm muting.
But listen,
this
has nothing.
Stop,
yes.
Stop that self-sabotage. Stop that. Bye. I'm muting again.
There we go. So what I'm getting at is the foundation of friendship and charactership is deep here because I'm not lying. My friend, I selfishly wanted to take dance production, and she doesn't think this is important. This is the most important thing I've ever seen in my life at 12, 13, 14 years of age. I'm in dance production. She said, well, you can't do two. You can't have dance production and cheerleading. I want to be a cheerleader. She said, I'll take one for the team, and I'll do the cheerleading. And every fucking day after that, she came, and she taught me the cheers. Let me explain why that's important. Hundreds of people try out. Cheerleading is the most important thing at Kennedy High School. These kids started out when they were Pop Warner. I jump in, you know. Because my girl showed me the most unselfish thing. In fact, you're not even supposed to tell what you learned in the cheerleading class and share it outside of the course, because first of all, you had to be in there so Mr. Hall could check out all the girls, right? But she did, and after, she didn't care. She said, you're not going to kick me out of there. I'm a teacher every goddamn thing. And then she watched me do the damn thing. And Tasha did this because she's like, this is not my caliber of my area. I'm going to do some other shit, which we'll talk about that too. This is why this is so important. And then the day, I worked hard, and she worked hard to show me. She said, this is you. You got this. I'm telling you, 13 years old, the first black cheerleader who never took the cheerleading class is because her best friend, who at 13 is not jealous of her. Okay? Because I'm sure I would have had a problem with it, I'm sure. Let's just keep it out there, because I was a jealous bitch back in those days. Today, I'm not so much. But then I worked hard, though. I forgot about my part of that, of the results. They come out back in the day. You didn't get them on your phone. They were posted. And Tasha was there before me. In fact, I didn't even know where they posted it. That's how she – those are things you learned in the cheerleading class, that the results would be posted XYZ. And she was the first one, and she grabbed me. She said, you did it. I can still remember being shocked. And so she said, okay, now you have to go to Mr. Hall's class. That's the cheerleading instructor. I'm like, who is he? And she took me to the class, and all the white girls that had made it, they were already there. And I don't know if you guys remember with classrooms, they had the first door and the back door. So the first door, she heard them, and she heard what they were saying about me. It wasn't nice. But they saw her face, so they didn't think, you know. So she pushed me to the back of the door, and she said, I need you to walk in from the back of the door and say who you are. And I'm right here if you need me. And she's never left my side. Even when I kicked myself in the face and almost fell, which is regularly. The other part of this, and I have you on mute, but I'll take you off if you want. The other part was this, you guys, but this is why this is so important. She found her groove in play production and with acting, and she thought she was Karen Carpenter at one point. I can't tell you how I failed to support her more than once. She told me, though, the other day, she said, you know, I remember one time you came. You had to go, but you came. And that's all I remember, not the times you weren't there. Friendship really shape who you are, where you've gone, and then if you get an opportunity to ever sit in that space with that person that was made something of your life, you find out where you are, and you can do whatever you want with it. And I apologized. She thought nothing of it, no big deal. It's huge. I've always had a Tasha, but I never gave maybe as much as she gave to me unconditionally. Yeah, I was smart, and I'll do all these things for everyone. But maybe I had to do that because I wasn't there for the one that gave me the foundation of starting with. I mean, you were big when you were a cheerleader, and I never stopped from there. I could do anything. So maybe when I do a lot for others, maybe because I don't remember being there for someone who was there for me. This is what this show is about, finding that core of looking for your give a fuck. And then during whatever her reason is here, she saw in my eyes that I was going through something. She said, talk to me. We have gone years without talking. But the friendship never goes away. And I honor you, and I appreciate you, and I can't wait to continue. But I always had to tell the world what you did for me and how it's amazing, you guys. I don't know. If you have great friends, and then you look at your family for their goods and their bads, and you accept totality, then life is good. Life is good. In addition to my Tasha, who's my stabilizer and my reality check, and the most unselfish person I've ever met, I would have never done what Tasha did. There was hundreds of women, those young girls, who this very day are still very in their niche, their little, okay, she told me I'm in, hold on. They're still in their little nooks, whatever. In fact, I had to be a cheerleader, but I had to be a Tasha friend. And there's another person we don't talk about right now, but huge. You want to be unmuted? Hold on. Because I have one other person who did the same thing on the professional realm. Hold on. Let me get her here again. Okay, Tasha, back on the line, Missy.
I just want to say this, Shirley. Even though you feel that you did not support me. You supported me, but your focus is on school with my activities and stuff. I mean, because I'm a great actress, though. I mean, I proved that. So the Academy Award, it's okay, because they've been shunning all the great actresses anyway. But you have supported me differently, emotionally, stuff at home, stuff in school. So you have always supported me, maybe not the way, maybe because the way you think you should have, you didn't, but you have always supported me. And I just want you to always remember that. And I always got your back. And so I'm muting off. And I love you very, very much.
Oh, I love you too. Stop it. All that crying and shit. Fuck that. Now, the next person that we're talking about, because I happen to see he's listening, is a professional. We talk about Mr. King, and I've been allowed to use his name forever. And he was the one, he's always been my friend. He's helped with my kid. He's a hard friend. Don't come with him. I'm sure right now with the crying and tears, he's like, oh, damn, stop it. Because he don't know that. Mm-mm. He ain't having it. He ain't having it. And Mary, I'm going to also... I'm going to put you back on line, too, because you work with Mr. King. But a lot of things. I remember you guys, and these are true words. He said, Shirley, you're amazing, but you're very inconsistent. You don't follow through, and if you did, you're great. Shirley, you're the smartest person in the world I've ever met. The last 5 years, he hasn't bothered even telling me that. Why? Because it's like at some point, I don't need to tell you. You need to figure it out yourself. Again, I explained to you guys last year, I had a situation with an employee, and I had to go to him and ask him for his support based on his connections, and he advised me, if I'm your, which is good to have his connections, right? But if you don't make your own connections, 35 some odd years in the legal profession is nothing if you cannot make a call based on those relationships and friendships and workships in order to help you through another level, which he taught me that. Within 1 year, I have now created an essence of people that help me, and I'm growing and growing from that. Could you imagine if I'd started at 35 years ago? But what he's saying and what is very, very important is no matter if you work at Starbucks, $2, $2, it doesn't matter. Incorporate, get to know someone. You don't have to like them, but understand, hey, maybe having coffee, maybe even call them because they might have insight. I didn't realize how important that was for me to have that network. I was the network. You call me, I got you. I'm using everything I need in a sense for everyone else. But when I was in this situation with my transfer of a job ship, and he said, you calling me in Sacramento. But here's the kicker. The reference he gave me was so damn close to what I need. It doesn't matter. I mean, in other words, he's like, you were sitting on this fucking reference. You didn't even know it. But he never looks at you like that. He never says anything like that. But he always says, you know, you heard your mama say, my mama says this a lot. If you hang around people that have less money than you, you might want to check it out. That's why I don't know why people are still my friends, because I'm always the less money. But anyway, Mr. King, always the less money. But Mr. King instilled in me, it wasn't, he said, when he would say, you're not consistent, I'd get so defensive. And what are you talking about? He was right. It's like I had adult ADHD. And the reason being, I never did anything that was in my passion. I just did things that I was very good at. Continuing with the discussion of him, he's always been passionate. Club Nouveau and other projects. Now he's the president of the Black Chamber of California Black Chamber of Commerce. It doesn't matter. He constantly reinvents himself. And he doesn't do it because, you know, except his mom, who's the greatest cheerleader in the world, who will always be on earth and in heaven, you know. But Jay was always like, I'm going to do, I don't care. Jay was the most, I don't care before I understood, I don't care. But he cared. It's so complicated. It's like, I don't care what you say, but I care enough about what I want so that I'm going to do what I need to do. And when I finish with that, you're going to care because you're going to like the song. You're going to like this. You're going to like that. It's so crazy how the world says you ain't shit. But yet you have to believe that you are the shit of all shit to produce, to create something to where then all of a sudden you're the shit. He was saying something about on the show about how music is his lover. And music's cold-blooded, he said. It's like, what did he say? They love you and you have a hit. They don't even take your call when you ain't got nothing. You know, you don't have like a hit record. Well, what you want? Well, call me when you have a hit. But isn't that a complicated contrast of defeat and success and confidence all in one? No one can teach you that.
but most people who have that can't hold on to it. And I want to, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm just using this. I mean, we're talking about, let's say the Michael Jacksons that have the greatness, like, you know, key, you have to be great at what you do, be number one at what you do, but you have to also navigate the world outside of it. Most great people that are in positions who are musicians, so on and so forth, can't navigate outside of themselves. It's too difficult. Jay was telling us that when he first started with the Club Nouveau, and Tasha, you can appreciate this. Was it Rumors? Yeah, Rumors, I do believe. And you remember they're on the big records? I'm really bad. He's listening. I'm really fucking up the story, I'm sure. But he was at a conference, and he was handing out all these different things as promos. And then at the end of the conference, at the end of the night, he went down, and they were all on the ground. What you just said. You guys have no idea what he explains to us, what he sacrifices. But I just want everyone to sit at that moment. Everything you sacrifice, and he's had stories where he sacrificed his marriage, his own personal things, to get this promo thing. I don't know what it's called. His whole world. And he tells the story of how he just started picking them up. Now, I want everyone to take a minute. How many of us? Today, I'm struggling with picking up my 35 years of stuff. I'm tired. If someone were to throw my resume, I couldn't even pick it back up right now, right? I wonder if he would have walked away. I wonder if he would have gave in to what people thought about him, thought about his music. He didn't say it didn't hurt. He probably was like, oh, that's fucked up, and picked him up talking about, that's 50 Cent. That's 50 Cent. I got to get this money. And so funny, because most of it, I know I would have walked up going, fuck that. I'm over it. But he was looking like, oh, that hurts. Let me get my money. We'll just take these and promote them somewhere else. And through that, my understanding is through that self, whatever he had to adjust, he was able to, whether it was thereafter or during the, you know, shortly thereafter or later on, he just kept building. But how do you go from that hurts to, I'm going to keep going. His mama, his will. And then just this thing that you have to have in this thing called life. Because sometimes you got to be hard as stone just to be able to feel. I want everyone to go back. Your whole thing is on the floor. And then years later, not too many years thereafter, it's the number one song. How many of us would have fought for number one? I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm crying about my situation. And everything's sitting on a lobby floor. Between the lobby floor and the car lot with all the cars. I can't move and I can't bend down. You have to find your give a fuck to keep moving a fuck, I guess. And that's hard because everyone has stories and everyone has love. But do I hear what my friend just said? Did I hear what Tasha just said? Do I see and understand the strength and the pains and the complexity of success? And Mr. King is still moving forward when everyone says he cannot. That's not written that. Sometimes at night it hurts a little bit. He's like, fuck that hurt. Let me go read about Martin Luther King so that I can do my show and talk about the greatness of black men. I have another friend, Mary's on the line here. Mary's gone through hell and back and continues on. I wonder if she'd pick up the LPs that were sitting in the lobby. I think she had to recently. I think I told her, in a sense, using metaphorically, talking about Jay, hey, your shit is all over the lobby. What are you going to do about it? She said, oh, I think I'll just go to the hospital because I don't feel very well. And she did. And she came back and said, well, I got the situation back. And my smart ass was like, oh, there you go. You shouldn't have got, instead of thinking, she picked up the promos. And she said, you know, I might have to go back to the situation, but I got to start somewhere. And what did I say? Oh, my God, that's ridiculous. I don't even want you to talk to me about that. Oh, my God, I apologize to you on air, Mary. But what is this all about? It's heavy. I think about, you know, 5 minutes left. I think about my cousin Lee J, who's ironing, thinking about grandma keeping her alive and how I thought, grandma, we were poor, not knowing we were so rich. It hurts. Thinking about my friend who was, we were complicated. We still can go bat to bat. she watched when there was the shift in our family dynamic when Mr. Shepherd committed suicide. They were there, the whole family. And for her to say, you know what? You may not have been there with play production, but you were there in life production. The issue is, and then, of course, King. I call King for stuff, and he's like, goddamn, nigga. But he's also seeing, where are you characteristically? Because any time I would borrow something before, I was like, oh, you know, I don't have to do X, Y, Z. He's teaching me connections and characteristics. And honestly, I mean, to the level of, if I give you 5 cents, I want 5 cents at 4 o'clock. Where normally I'm like, nigga, I'll get you at 4 o'clock. And he must have a soul if he's still very good friends with my family and even me. Very, very, very. The issue becomes when I end the show, do I feel it? Or do I just cry about it? This is real shit. Looking for my give a fuck is really looking in deep and seeing all the love and maybe clearing out my my car lot of cars and maybe finding that real nice one and not necessarily walking away, but maybe just like, you know, cruising with the music and the metaphorical things of what the cars meant to you in every level. Like from college, I had a Nissan and then this and then baby daddy and then this and then, you know, now we're back to practicality, right, to Honda. I don't have to walk necessarily out that part of the car lot, do I? No. Maybe I could just rearrange it and maybe I can get into one of those cars that make me feel good. And maybe each time I get into a different car, even though I'm about to walk because I got to go because I need to walk, I need to have my feet on the ground, I'm not leaving that car lot like, fuck them cars, little ride. Maybe that's what I need to do. This is things I'm going to work on, and I'm glad my friend's here so we can talk about this. And things on the ground today, my life is on the ground. Only because when you have everything, when you're intelligent, you're making a whole bunch of dollars, not even that much, and you still can't find foundation, that's as if everyone threw your records on the ground. I think I'm going to give King a call and say, how do you do that? And he don't like no tears. He's going to be like, just pick the motherfuckers up. And maybe that's what I'll do. With the last 2 minutes I have on the show, when I started this thing here 82 episodes ago, it was because I got fired from my own other show. They did. I started the show and they just quit on me. It was amazing. And the stubbornness that, you know, I'm going to create my own, and it was based on a fuck you, in a sense. The foundation was based on the situation with my mom and my brother, and then ultimately it's like, I'm going to show you. 82 episodes later, I'm showing me. It's called Epiphany, right? But we all constantly show each other. If you listen to Jay King in the morning, it's, I mean, I act like I ain't going to listen to this shit. I'd be every day, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio, look at Facebook. I'd be all in it. And just so you know, Jay King does shit like he will drink. He slurs and chips. Be cracking me up. This is little fucking things, right? So anyway, the bottom line is, as I don't know, find what keeps you going. Because there's a whole lot of roadblocks that keep you blocked, no matter how smart, no matter how beautiful, no matter how strong. And if that doesn't work, then you listen to me every Sunday. Woo-hoo, every Sunday. I'm going to put Tasha back on the line to say goodbye. I hope that Mary will say something about her show. You got 56 seconds. Mary, plug your show really quick, love. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. Mary had a little cancer right here on Blog Talk Radio, Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Great. Usually Mary has been my co-host today. She's been so gracious to allow others, and I love that we will be listening to your show, definitely. And then Tasha, my bestie, you want to say something and close out for the last 26 seconds? It's yours.
First, Mary, I pray that God continues to keep his arms wrapped around you and your journey, and surely it was a pleasure being on your show, and I would definitely be back.
All right. I love you. I love you. And King, you know you, my buddy. Wait, guys, I'm dancing. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, since I can't do it right, we're going to go ahead and send it out with Dirk's Mix. Hey, you guys. Hey, keep on looking for what gives a fuck. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Thank you guys. Have a great week.
He kicked you out? Are you okay, Tazzy, or what's going on with you and Grandma? I'm looking, getting a little shit down. Come on. Let's go.
Why you keep jumping off the bed in the wrong place? You know you put out a pillow. Just wait to it bad. When your legs go bad, that's not a good thing, Tabby. Are we keeping these out here to see?
What's your baby doing? Mm-hmm. You big a boy?
to some music.
Jess.
Thank you.